Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. It seems everyone's talking about AI these days, so that's what we're diving into: generative AI and copyright law.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating and complex area. And the outcome of this kind of legal battle that's going on could really reshape the internet as we know it.
Okay, so to set the stage, when we say generative AI, what are we actually talking about? What should our listeners picture?
So we're talking about AI systems that can create things like artwork, music, even things like legal documents. But the thing is, these AI systems, they're fueled by data. Massive amounts of data. We're talking billions of images, code, text, you name it.
Billions. Okay, so we're not talking about a few spreadsheets here. Where does all this data even come from?
Right, it comes from all over. Books, articles, code repositories, even social media. You know, if you wanted to teach someone to paint, you'd show them a lot of paintings, right? AI is like that, but on a massive scale. They gobble up all this data to learn the patterns of human creativity.
That is incredible. But it also sort of begs the question, is it even legal for companies to just scoop up all this data, especially if it's copyrighted?
That's the million-dollar question. And it's at the heart of this legal battle brewing between, well, everyone, really. You've got artists, authors, news organizations on one side, and then these tech giants on the other.
So are you saying that, for example, an AI could be trained on like the entire Harry Potter series without J.K. Rowling seeing a penny?
Well, it's not quite that simple. It's not like they're directly copying and selling. The companies argue it falls under what's called fair use. It's a legal principle that allows limited use of copyrighted material without needing direct permission.
Okay, fair use. That always seems to be a bit of a gray area.
It really is. And the outcome of this debate has huge E implications for the future of, well, everything, really. Creative industries, the internet, even what it means to be a creator.
Okay, so this is serious stuff. We're not just talking about some abstract legal debate here. We're talking about real-world consequences for creators, for consumers, for all of us.
Exactly. And to really understand the stakes, we need to look at some of the major legal cases shaping this battle. One of the biggest ones, a real landmark case, is Authors Guild versus Google. It went down back in 2015, all about Google Books.
Google Books, wasn't that their project to like digitize millions of books? I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, exactly. The Authors Guild, which represents thousands of authors, sued Google for scanning all those books without permission.
And their argument was that Google was infringing on their copyright.
Precisely. And it all boiled down to, you guessed it, fair use.
So what happened? Did Google win?
They did, but it's complicated. The court agreed that Google's use of the copyrighted material was transformative. They said it served a new purpose, making information more accessible, which benefited the public.
Okay, so there's a precedent. Does that mean it's a slam dunk for AI companies? Can they just say, look, Google Books, we're transformative too?
Not so fast. The Google Books case has become a sort of a double-edged sword. Both sides are using it to argue their case.
Wait, really? How does that even work?
It all hinges on how you interpret transformative use. AI companies are saying, hey, we're just like Google Books, we're using this data to create something new and innovative.
But I'm guessing the creators have a different take.
Oh, absolutely. They're pushing back, saying, hold on, AI is different. Google Books made information findable, but AI is creating things that could replace human creators altogether.
Okay, that's a whole different ballgame. It's one thing to help people find books, it's another thing for an AI to start writing them.
Exactly. And that brings us to another case that's making waves, the New York Times versus Microsoft.
Ooh, this one sounds juicy. What's the Times beef with Microsoft?
Well, the Times claims Microsoft, through their partnership with OpenAI, used their articles to train their AI models without permission. And they're not just complaining, they're saying they've lost money because of it.
Wow, okay. High stakes. And what's Microsoft's side of the story? Are they also crying fair use?
Well, sort of. They're saying, yeah, maybe some copying happened, but it was incidental, just part of the process of training the AI.
Incidental, huh? That seems like a stretch.
Yeah, and the Times is pushing back on that hard. They're saying, no, you knew exactly what you were doing. You benefited from using our content.
So this isn't just about a few news articles. It sounds like this case could have ripple effects across the internet.
Absolutely. It could set a precedent for how AI companies can use data from all over the place, social media, blogs, you name it, to train their AI.
Wow, this is getting intense. We're talking about a fundamental shift in how we think about creation and ownership in the digital age.
Exactly. And it's not just those two cases either. There's another one that's particularly interesting, Anderson versus Stability AI, which dives into the world of AI image generators and artistic style.
Okay, so we're not just talking words anymore, we're talking images too.
Right. In this case, a group of artists is suing Stability AI, the company behind Stable Diffusion, for using their art to train their system.
And I'm guessing their argument is that the AI is ripping off their style.
Exactly. They're saying Stable Diffusion can replicate their unique styles so well that it infringes on their copyrights.
So in theory, you could feed it a bunch of Van Goghs, and it could create new Van Goghs.
That's essentially what they're saying. And to make things even juicier, this case involves DeviantArt.
DeviantArt, the online art community. What's their role in all this?
Well, the artists claim Stability AI scraped images from their site, including their work, without permission to train their AI.
Wow, so it's not just about what the AI produces, it's also about the data used to train it.
Right. This case gets at the whole issue of data scraping and whether it's even possible to get permission to use stuff from all over the internet. It's a real mess.
Okay, so we're talking about AI learning from all this data. But you mentioned this idea of AI memorization, which honestly sounds kind of creepy. Like, how much does an AI actually remember?
Right, and that's a key question when we're thinking about copyright.
Yeah.
Now, we're not saying an AI memorizes like we do, reciting a poem from memory.
Right. It's not like an AI is going to suddenly start writing Shakespeare.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
more about retaining specific details, chunks of information from all that data it's trained on.
Okay, so it's not just that the AI has access to this huge database. It can actually pull out specific stuff.
Yeah, and that's where the copyright issue comes up. Let's say an AI is trained on like all of Jane Austen's books.
Okay, Pride and Prejudice, all that.
Right. If you can then prompt that AI and get it to spit out, say, a whole chapter of Pride and Prejudice, word for word.
Well, that's starting to sound a little less like learning and a lot more like just copying.
Exactly. So the question becomes, where's the line? When does AI memorization cross over into copyright infringement? And that's where this whole concept of fair use comes in, but it's murky.
Murky is right. We've touched on fair use, but let's dig a little deeper. You mentioned there are actually four factors that come into play.
Yeah, so under US copyright law, it's not just a simple yes or no. The court looks at four things. One, the purpose and character of the use. Two, the nature of the copyrighted work itself. Three, the amount used. And four, the impact on the market for the original work.
Okay, so it's a balancing act.
A total balancing act. So take that first one, the purpose and character of the use. This is where that transformative use idea we talked about comes in. If
Yeah.
you're using the copyrighted material in a totally new way, creating something new and beneficial.
That's more likely to be considered fair use.
Exactly. So the AI companies, they argue that training an AI is transformative. It's going to revolutionize how we do all sorts of things.
But I imagine the creators whose work is being used, they might see it a little differently.
Oh, for sure. And that's where those other factors come in. Like the second one, the nature of the work. Some things, like straight up news reporting, might be more open to fair use than, say, a super creative novel.
Makes sense. News is supposed to be shared, but a novel is someone's artistic creation.
Right. And then there's the third one, the amount and substantiality used. That's pretty straightforward. Copying a whole book is worse than using a couple of sentences.
Right. Makes sense. But that last factor, the market impact, that seems like the big one.
It's huge. It gets to the heart of whether AI is replacing the need for the original creator. If an AI can do what a human can do, but for free, who's going to pay for the human's work?
Right, that's the fear, right? That AI could put artists, writers, musicians out of business.
And it's not just theoretical. The music industry is already grappling with this. If an AI can write a hit song.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. Legal battles, AI that can practically read minds. What does it all mean for, well, for someone listening to this right now?
That's such an important question. This isn't just about, lawyers and tech people. It affects everyone. Whether you create stuff, consume stuff, it's gonna touch all of us.
So it's not just about whether or not an AI can write a novel. It's about like the whole future of creativity, the economy, even what it means to be human almost.
Exactly. Think about, the things you enjoy every day, music, articles, art. Copyright is supposed to protect the people who make those things, right?
Right, so they get paid for their work, so someone can't just steal it.
Exactly. But what happens when an AI can make those things too? Like, if you can't tell the difference between a song written by a human and one by an AI.
Will people still pay for music? Will newspapers be able to, like, keep employing journalists?
Big questions. And it goes beyond just the money. Copyright is also about giving credit where credit's due.
Authorship. If an AI creates something, who owns it?
Right. Our whole system of copyright, it was built for a world without AI. We're in uncharted territory now.
So what do we do? Do we need, like, totally new laws?
It's a huge debate. Some people think we can make the current system work. Others, they're talking about, like, a whole new category of copyright just for AI stuff.
Interesting. Like different rules for AI-made things.
Yeah, exactly. Or some people are suggesting, you know, maybe creators could, like, pool their rights and then get paid when their work is used to train AI.
So instead of suing after the fact, they're getting compensated up front.
Exactly. And then there's tech solutions, too. Like, imagine if you could watermark AI-generated stuff so you always knew where it came from.
That's wild. It's like, we're not just inventing new technology. We're inventing a whole new way of thinking about art, ownership, all of it.
It's a really exciting time, but a bit overwhelming too, right?
Totally. This deep dive has been, a lot to process. We've talked about lawsuits, AI that can practically read minds, and the future of, well, everything creative. It seems like we're on the edge of a huge shift.
We really are. And it's up to all of us to, you know, learn about the stuff, ask questions, and decide what role we want AI to play.
That's a good point. This isn't just like happening to us.
Yeah.
We get to shape how it goes.
Exactly.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today's deep dive. Hopefully this has given everyone a lot to think about. It's a wild world out there, but hey, that's what makes it fun to explore, right? Until next time, keep those brains buzzing, and we'll catch you on the flip side.